Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going?
I mean, it's going pretty well. I'm still sad about Overshown, and that hasn't really changed. But I'm curious. I know you got a chance to hit up the locker room. What did you hear? Anything of interest that you think we want to know?
Yeah. The tone in the locker room really didn't change much from Monday night, same thing about, you know, talking about Overshown. They're probably in there another 15 minutes, but I don't know if he was going to come out and talk or not. At least if he does, there's enough cameras there and microphones.
Yeah, we'll catch
and recorders
it.
Will catch it. But I thought, since you brought it up, when Mike Zimmer was talking about it yesterday during the coordinator's time with us day after game. He said all the complimentary things about him that everybody else has said. And I think, you know, I'm not sure if I've seen an injury have such a profound effect on so many other people. And you guys have heard it, right? The guys talking about it. Micah Parsons tearing up.
Yeah.
The whole realm of it, the coaching staff. And so someone asked Mike if Overshown, his play and his impact on this team this year reminded him of anyone else. And he kind of hemmed and hawed, and then he goes, you know, the closest comparison I can give is Darren Woodson. And I'm going, whoa, wow. Darren Woodson? We're talking a Ring of Honor player, a guy who should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Do the right thing, NFL.
And and if you get compared to Darren Woodson, I'm not sure there's a much higher honor given you, right?
Yeah.
And I remember when Woody got here his rookie year, and he was sort of the same type of player. They weren't built the same, but Woody got here as a hybrid linebacker at Arizona State. And the Cowboys saw, and credit to Dave Campo, because he was the one that kind of scouted him before the draft, they saw a safety in him. And so they weren't sure how quickly he can make that transition from college hybrid linebacker to NFL safety. So he spent the majority of his rookie year on special teams. And then the next year, he ends up as a nickelback, a starting safety, but playing in the slot on the nickel. And I remember Jimmy Johnson one day told me, he goes, that might have been the biggest mistake I made since I got here. And this was during when he was still here. He goes, because Woody could have done this his rookie year. I wasted a rookie year on him in the slot. He could have gone to safety and handled it perfectly, and I should have done that. And I said, whoa, that's a pretty good compliment coming from Jimmy. And so if you're compared to Darren Woodson, I'm not sure at this point in his, 13-game NFL career,
right,
there's a higher honor, right?
Yeah, I remember Parcells telling that story about when he first saw him going up to Jimmy Johnson being like, where did you get this guy?
Right.
And just like, good gosh, you guys got really lucked out on this one.
Yeah, and I could remember when he got here and he started playing special teams, and Campo tells the story, and he goes, hey, now, you better be productive because I put my neck on the line to get you here. He goes, you better not let me down. And Woody tells the story all the time about Campo just kind of reading him the riot act about how good he needed to be.
Things worked out, it seems like.
Yeah. So that's just the impact of not only his play and but again, just the guy he is. He's so positive. Smile on his face. Last year he tore his ACL, right? And it's like, okay, well, I got to get to work. I'll see you guys next year, da-da-da. And now he's got to go through this again. And I think, you know, after yesterday we realized the gravity of the injury when you tear every CL you got in your knee.
The terrible trio.
A, P, and M, now, I heard the good thing was that he didn't damage any meniscus. And a lot of times when you have that severe of a knee injury, some of the meniscus gets damaged. And that's one of the things that they have the hardest of repairing. And, you know, they've done the different deals where they try to inject, blood platelets into where the missing meniscus is to try to regenerate the growth. Because there's no surgery, there's no, you know, artificial meniscus that they can put in there to replace, the cushion between your kneecap and the bone. So the good thing is that didn't happen. It didn't sound like he suffered any nerve damage, but this is going to be a very difficult rehab, a lengthy one, and they're going to do the surgery as quickly as they can, if not tomorrow, Friday, or by the weekend.
Now, in his stead, because unfortunately the nature of this business, the nature of sports, you got to move on. Who's next? Who's getting playing time? We saw Leah Fowle come out there and get the sack and not the face mask call, which I approve of. Is that who we think is going to take a bulk of the time? And if so, are you excited to see more from him?
Yeah, you know, and he's been playing when they've been in their three linebacker sets. And then, you know, they've used Overshown. They leave him in there when they go two linebackers in their nickel. But, yeah, he ended up in the game with a sack and a half. And so now it's his turn. And one of the things that I think all the analysis was coming out of Notre Dame that this was a linebacker that could play three downs, that he had the ability and the agility to cover get into pass coverage. It looks like he would be the logical one to go out there, especially now that, you know, if you wanted to go big nickel or something like that, Marquise Bell is out. Wanye Thomas is not healthy yet. So I think he's the logical choice. And yeah, just another hit on this team. And and then you got to factor in the Cooper Beebe injury, the concussion. I think McCarthy kind of said that we'll see how that one goes. There's a chance that he could get back out of concussion protocol by time the game rolls around. But, you know, that one's difficult because it's not your doctor making that decision.
Sure.
An independent doctor has to clear him. And he's got to go through all the steps and practice and see how you recover the next day. But that's just another starter that, they could be without going to Carolina. Which, by the way, and stop me if I told you this yesterday, but I read where the Panthers are 2.5-point favorites.
It's the first time in 2 years they've been favorites, Mick.
33 games without being favorites.
Yikes.
So that tells you what people think about what's left on this team on the field going. And they've they've played better, right? The Eagles are pretty fortunate to come from behind to beat them.
Yes, a good thing for Legette not being able to hold on to the ball.
That helped. Right. So a difficult season becomes more difficult. I don't know what else we can say about it, and we'll see where it goes. I guess. They need a whole bunch of people to lose to keep them in the hunt, but they got to win themselves.
You know what, Mike? I want you to turn on your microphone so you can ask that question.
Is this the game the Panthers regret trading Mingo?
That's a good one. Well, you know what? Poor Bryce Young. he had nothing around him, right?
Yeah.
His rookie year, and then this year it got a little bit better, but they traded guys away. What was the wide receiver they traded? Didn't want to play for the Raiders. Deontay Johnson, was he a wide receiver or was he a cornerback?
Wide receiver Deontay Johnson, he was with the Steelers, they went to the Ravens, yeah.
And then he went to the Ravens, and then they're going to send him in to play, and he said, "Nah, I don't feel like playing."
Yeah, he didn't want to play on a drive, and they were like, "All right, fine.
Fine. Well, okay, you're suspended, and you're not going to get paid for the next week." The kids these days.
Oh, wow. Man.
Well, right. You know what? That thought went by in my mind last night watching the Mavericks and OKC. I don't think I've seen more three-pointers tried in my entire life.
Well, Mickey, I have terrible news for you about the current NBA game. That is just the way it's going.
I mean, it was every possession. Maybe it was just the third quarter. I don't know. I didn't count. I needed to look.
I did this the other day, Mick. I know this gets off topic and we got to go.
Sorry.
But, in the finals this year, I think there was an average, the Celtics and Mavs, I want to say an average of 71 threes attempted per game. And if you go back to the 2011 finals that the Mavs won, it was, I want to say, an average of 31 or 36. I forget because I did the math, but it was like in 2011, you would see 36 three-pointers shot in an NBA Finals game total. And last year, you saw an average of 71 taken.
It was unbelievable. I thought I was
just
watching
where the game's going.
I thought I was watching an all-star game. Like, it didn't matter if you win or lose. Just keep jacking up threes, see how many we can hit, right?
Yep.
And so it got funny because then every time they got the ball and they had the ball behind the line, I'm yelling at the TV, shoot it, shoot it. And they did.
I like it. Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right. See ya.